Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. And welcome to English with Kirsty. This is episode 84, and today we're going to talk about language exchanges. But I know we've had this this topic a number of times, but today it's specifically what you shouldn't do, because I have a sheet on how to get the best out of language exchanges, which is more kind of practical tips and what to look out for and how to write your advert or how to approach people. So if anyone wants that information sheet, you can go to englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode84 and request the information sheet there. But today the topic is about what not to do, because I've seen people doing some unhelpful things, but they're not always intentional. Some people are just annoying, but most of the time people don't intend to be annoying. But the problem is they don't realize that what they're doing isn't very helpful. So I decided to use my experience and the experiences that other people have told me about, like my students, my friends, and pull together some things that you shouldn't do if you're having a language exchange. And if you've got any more ideas about mistakes or things to avoid, then come onto the show notes page at theenglishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode84 and share them with me there. Or if you've got any tips about things that you definitely should do, then put them in the comments as well. Okay, so number one is don't correct every single word. And I've seen this done, I think the first time I saw it was on a forum. It was like a language exchange forum. And there was this one individual who, in an attempt to be helpful, but I don't think it was very helpful, every time somebody wrote something, even the native speakers, they would look for possible mistakes and point them out. And in the case of where she corrected me, she wasn't actually right. But this individual was looking for every single possible mistake and pointing it out. And you can argue that that's helpful because people learn, but to be honest, it's not helpful, because if you keep doing that, people won't want to learn. They won't want to speak for fear of you pouncing on them with your list of mistakes. So I would say, I mean, the reason for doing a language exchange is to learn, but you know, focus on a couple of things in the sentence. Don't take the entire sentence apart and point out every tiny mistake. And also, you know, be sure, because I've also seen people correcting each other and the correction was worse than the sentence. So if you are going to correct, and that's important, you know, people do need to learn, but think about it. Think about what's the worst mistake in that sentence, and then work on that. And then, you know, because you don't want to stop people speaking by correcting every single mistake. That's number one. Number two is the opposite of that, because I know someone, she said she came to England and people just didn't correct her. And she said, I know I'm making mistakes, but people aren't helping me to improve. And I think part of that is the culture. If it's not a specific language exchange, you don't feel that you need to go and point out everyone's mistakes. I mean, here in the UK, there are people from so many different countries who are learning, and we don't go and point out everybody's mistakes, because that's a bit rude. But if you're having a language exchange, then obviously you do want to learn from that. So, you know, explain to people how you want to have feedback, but don't just, you know, if you want the other person to help you with your language, then you need to give them some tips as well. So it's all about a balance between these two points. Don't give too much feedback about mistakes, but also you have to give some feedback, otherwise the other person won't learn anything. So it's all about finding the right balance with your language exchange partner. Number three, don't forget that you're there to learn both languages. And this is something that I've been guilty of as well, and it's not cool. If it's easier to communicate in the language that you're learning, then people will do that. Often, you know, like if you're going somewhere, people try to find the most direct route. It's the same when you're communicating. So if you're not at the same level, it doesn't mean you can't have a good language exchange, but just be mindful that you don't speak the language that's easiest for communication all the time, because really you should split the time between the two languages, whether that's today we're speaking English and tomorrow next time we're speaking German, or you know, split the time, half an hour doing one and half an hour doing the other. But it's something to be aware of when one language learner is more advanced than the other, that it can easily fall into that you just speak the one language. And then that's not very fair, because the person who actually has either the weakest skills or who is just less confident doesn't speak so much of the language that they want to learn, and they're the one you really should be helping. So just try to be aware of that. Number four, don't expect the other person to be a teacher. I mean, you may come across teachers who are learning other languages. It's something that we do sometimes, particularly language teachers. It's really good for us to learn other languages, because then we can relate as learners as well. But a lot of the time, people aren't teachers, they're learners, just like you. So, you know, if you want really detailed grammar explanations and you want worksheets, or you want really kind of involved teaching, then you probably should be paying a teacher, because you can't expect everybody to know their own language that well that they can explain the finer points of the tenses or explain why a sentence has to be written in a certain way. Maybe you'll be lucky and find someone who can, but you know, that's not really the job of a language exchange partner. They're there to help you and maybe to correct and to help you develop your speaking and writing skills, but they're not there to be a teacher. And if you luck out, that's great. But if you don't, then it's an unfair expectation. You really need to think about finding a teacher if you're looking for a teacher. Number five, kind of on the same topic, is don't pretend you know all the answers. You know, just because somebody asks you something about your native language, it doesn't mean that you're going to know the answer. And there's nothing worse than somebody trying to guess at the answer and then giving the learner some crazy explanation that isn't true. So if you don't know the answer, then it's fine to say that, because you know, you're just doing the best that you can. Maybe you could go and online and look it up, because it might be easier for you to understand a language question forums in your native language than the other person. So you can definitely say that you'll go and try and find out for them. But if you don't know the answer, don't pretend that you do, because you could end up confusing them even more by giving incorrect information or a really confusing explanation. Number six, don't keep asking the same question in different ways. I mean, if you think the person didn't understand a question, that's fine. Find a different way, different vocabulary until they get it. But sometimes people just need time. And if you fill all the space with words, then they don't have time to think. So if somebody doesn't answer you straight away, then just give them a few seconds to try and work out, because it may well be that they understood the question and they're thinking about the answer. So I think sometimes people think, oh, I didn't get an answer straight away, they didn't understand the question. And sometimes, I know with my experience when I started learning German, for example, I understood the question very well, but it was a complicated answer. It wasn't straightforward, and I needed time to put that sentence together. And hassling me by asking me the same question again and again in different ways was just annoying. I needed time to think of how I would explain this complicated answer, and asking me the question again and again really didn't help. So don't do that. If you really think someone didn't understand them, fine, but just sometimes give people a bit of time, because what you might think is a really straightforward question might not be to someone else if their answer is a bit different from what you would normally expect. Number seven, don't make the other people feel stupid. I mean, if somebody's doing that on purpose in a language exchange, then they don't deserve to have language exchange partners. That's not a good way to behave. But sometimes it can be a bit more subtle. You know, you can laugh because somebody said something really funny, but if they were trying really hard and didn't know it was really funny and they didn't realize why you're laughing, then that can feel quite hurtful. And it's not good to do that, because then they'll lose their confidence. So yeah, if you can explain why and you can both laugh about the mistake, then that's fine. But don't just laugh at someone, because they might not understand why. And also getting impatient, you know, sometimes people aren't very patient, but you're there to learn as well, and the other person's going to have to be patient with you. So don't get restless if somebody needs some time. Don't sigh because they're taking too long. Don't start looking at your phone because they'll think, oh yeah, I'm really that interesting that they're now going to look at their phone. You know, treat people as you want to be treated, and sometimes it is a bit hard to speak another language, so try to be patient with your language exchange partner. And that is actually number eight, don't show your impatience. So as well as not making somebody feel stupid, don't don't show it if you're thinking, oh, come on, finish the sentence. You know, that was you at one point, if it's not you now in the other language. And so you, you know, just show the other person some respect. Number nine, I put this in here because this is something that people do on purpose. The other things are kind of mistakes that people can make without realizing it. But number nine is, if you're looking for a date, then do the world a favor and don't go to a language exchange site. Because I don't think it's a problem just for girls. I've seen it happen to guys as well. But if you're learning to learn, if you're planning to learn another language and you find people that are just, hey, let's meet up, let's, you know, not to learn languages, but just because they want to meet up with you, or they're looking for a partner, or they just keep commenting on your appearance or asking for photos or sending you photos of themselves, it's just tedious. That's not what a language exchange site is for. Okay, something might develop if you become friends with somebody and something more happens, then that's great. But, you know, that shouldn't be people's initial motivation for going on language exchange sites, finding people who speak this language to go on a date with. If you want to do that, then go on a dating site in that language. Then, you know, be done with it. But for people who want to learn, it's kind of annoying. And number 10 is just about respect again. Don't be unreliable. So if you say you're going to meet up with somebody, yeah, something might happen. You know, life happens. And sometimes we can't keep the arrangements that we've made. But it, would you say, oh, I don't feel like it tonight, if a friend was standing on your doorstep, for example? If it's online, it's still somebody taking time out for you and maybe planning their evening around having a language exchange meeting with you. So, you know, think before you cancel. Would you do that face to face? And it can be that something's happened that you really can't meet with them, or you could have a really kind of loose arrangement where, yeah, I'll be there. If I'm online, we'll talk, that kind of thing. But if you do make a definite arrangement with somebody, then try not to keep cancelling. It's better to not make the arrangement than to keep cancelling. Because, you know, that they're trying to learn as well. So try to be a good, reliable language exchange partner. And if you don't have time, then say you don't have time and find a time when you do have time, rather than saying, oh yeah, I'll be there, and then not be there, because that's just difficult then for the other person to plan their learning and their day. Okay, so I hope those things about what you shouldn't do are helpful. I imagine that most people don't do these things on purpose, as I said before, apart from number nine. But sometimes people just don't realize the effect that their behavior has on other people, or, you know, why behaving in that way could be difficult for other people. Like, one that isn't on this list but I thought of is, you know, don't think about it as like talking to one of your friends who is a native speaker, because, you know, you can talk and talk and talk and then say, what do you think? And then your friend might talk and talk and talk as well. But it feels a bit harsh if somebody's been talking for 5 minutes and then they say, hey, what do you think? And then you just have one or two sentences and you feel like a complete idiot because you think a lot more than you can say. So be aware of your tandem partner's level too. And, you know, try and break up what you're saying and try to get them to speak in between, or ask questions if they look like they're feeling a bit nervous or they don't know what to say. Kind of try and think about questions that could get more information out of them, rather than just expecting them to be able to talk for 2 or 3 minutes. You may have a really talkative tandem partner, in which case that doesn't apply, but, you know, just think you are speaking to somebody who isn't a native speaker and who maybe needs a bit more time or a bit more encouragement to speak. Okay, so those are the things that I would advise you not to do. And if you want the information sheet about what is helpful to do, so just breaking it down about how to find a tandem partner and what to do, then you can sign up for that on the show notes page, which is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode 84. And there you can also support the podcast if you would like to. If you're in the UK or Germany, it would be really nice if you use my Amazon link. It doesn't cost you any more, but instead of going to amazon.de or amazon.co.uk, if you use my link, then I get a small percentage of any sales generated through that link. So I'd really appreciate that if you'd like to support the podcast. And if you haven't already and you are interested, again, for people in Germany and the UK, if you want a free book from Audible, then there's a link on my show notes page for you to sign up to get a free book. You do have to cancel the subscription if you don't want to continue with it, but you can sign up and get one free book. And then it's up to you whether you continue with the subscription to Audible. Okay, so I hope that's helpful. Have a good week and have fun learning English. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.